Greetings. Welcome to this time of worship. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. And we gather together to give praise to God. On this Wednesday, January 20th, we have a couple of things we want to mention for the coming week. This evening, if you have a chance, there is a bingo night for fellowship that takes place through registration on our website, www.fdlpresbyterian.org. Everyone's welcome. Sunday, we'll be having our coffee hour at 9 a.m. and education hour at 10 a.m. Those are via a Zoom link that I send out in my emails, and also you can reach those by letting me know at RevJHarrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. We are excited by the gifts of God and the opportunity to be God's disciples together. So let's take a moment to prepare ourselves for worship. Offer a brief prayer. Give thanks to God for the place where you are, for the people you're with, for the people who are in your life. And let's begin to worship God.
The Word became flesh and lived in our midst, and we have seen his glory. To all who received him, he gave power to become children of God. We have found the Messiah, and he will show us the way to eternal life. Let us worship God together.
Before the first, beyond the last, the ever reigning one. Age to age, the one who was, the one who is and is to come, O Lord, so glorious. You are so glorious, living eternal. Skies and set the earth in place. All the works your hand has made reflect your glory. Sing your praise, O Lord, so glorious. You are so. Yet here we stand, amazed by grace, for by the light of your Son, the lost are found, the weak made strong, and broken hearts rejoice as one in sin.
So
so glorious, so wonderful, so powerful, so beautiful. You are so glorious, so wonderful, so
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Book of Genesis, Chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. And God said, Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to John, at the very beginning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This is the way John opens to us his understanding of the relationship of Jesus Christ with all of the world. It's helpful to remember that John is the last of the gospel writers. He was at least a couple of decades later than the other gospels, and all of the other gospels were well known to John's readers. John's purpose was not to first introduce people to Christ, but to elaborate and expand for them who Jesus is, and Jesus' role in bringing salvation to the world. And so from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we hear, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all may believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Let us pray. Holy God, creator of all nations and all people, we lift before you our need for peace and justice in this world, as well as healing and renewal in each of our hearts. We've lived through this time of struggle and fear, and we see so much that's out of control in our nation. The injustice, racism, judgment, and hate that fills the words and actions of so many people shows that we've moved far from the lives you sought to give to us. We destroy community. We deny hope and comfort to those who are particularly in need, and we continue to act out of a nature that shows we do not understand your love. Jesus, our Savior, we realize that it does us no good to stand in judgment, to condemn others, or to blame those who are acting out of bitterness and resentment for the troubles in the world. We realize that we are connected in ways that we would prefer not to acknowledge. that our own blame, hostility, and darkness of our souls is as toxic as those who we point out. Show us how to live in a different way, so that instead of fighting darkness with darkness, we might welcome and share your light in the world. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the middle of all of the fighting and the turmoil of the past year, we've struggled with how people who can claim to be Christian, claim to be part of Christ's teaching, can be racist, can be white supremacists, can deny comfort, compassion, justice, and peace to others. We have seen so frequently the person of Christ claimed and put on the front of things that show no love and are full of judgment, vitriol, hostility, and bitterness. We see so frequently political movements who claim to be the Christian political movements, and even to have identified individuals as Christian leaders, and we see their manner of life, the way they speak, the language that they use, does not show any love of Christ. How to react has become a real challenge, and especially as it causes us to be full of our own anger and hostility, our own resentment. How do we respond when there are those who claim to be speaking with Christ's voice, but are clearly saying words that are opposite to Jesus' teaching? And this is made more complex for us by being Presbyterian. As Presbyterians, we affirm plurality. We believe in diversity. We treasure those places in which people of good character see things differently and have healthy, lively arguments. It's actually out of those arguments that so many good things have come, so much greater knowledge has taken place. It's when people of passion and intelligence and wisdom come together and are authentic in their point of view that new understanding emerges, that ways forward are created that were not envisioned before. As Presbyterians, we want people to be able to have their own individual point of view, and we want to affirm all people in their understanding and in their character. But what do we do when someone is completely unaccepting of other points of view? How do we be not accepting of unacceptance? What do we do in those places where people are speaking what is false, who are affirming what is completely untrue? What do we do when people are clearly speaking out of vitriol and hostility and attack? That is one of our biggest weaknesses as Presbyterians. We tend to think we can work these things out by sitting down and talking it through, by listening to each other, and by coming to a place of affirmation. But the thing is that many people are not coming from a point of view that can be in any way reasoned with. They're coming out of darkness. They're coming out of a mindset that is rooted in bitterness, attack, resentment, and hatred. There's no conversation with that. There is no ability to work things out with that. And when a person is having a emotional attachment to darkness, a inner affirmation of that which is full of hate, words aren't going to be able to change the direction. It's not going to get fixed. And that puts us in the position of trying to work out how to be ourselves in places where others are simply not going to affirm a message of love, grace, and peace. Judging that, blaming that, attacking that, reacting in the same fashion only enlarges the amount of grief and loss. It's the old fighting fire with fire just gets you a whole lot more fire. How we be people of light in the midst of darkness, knowing that there's a limit into what we can accomplish, but still a role to play, that is the thing which is very powerful. We have to choose light, And to choose light means that we seek the light and live in the grace of the light rather than to choose to be defined by feelings of fear, insecurity, hostility. Choosing light means being willing to see ourselves with our flaws, but we welcome others that they are also created in the image of God, albeit with flaws. It can be challenging because it's not as secure as being able to set up a wall of hatred, a defense of hostility, when we live with authenticity and the grace of Christ. We live based upon the teachings of one who was crucified because of his love. That's a much more insecure place to be, but it is the place where the light of Christ dwells. And this is why John begins with the creation, with the Word of God, and the relationship between God's Word and living in light. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." There's this movement in what John is saying, that the Word of God is the creation and creative power. This is the source of life and the source of light. The life is the light of all people. The light continues to shine forth to all nations and all people as a gift of God's grace and wisdom, and no one is excluded from God's light and God's life. The term Word has a depth of meaning that is more than simply speech or language. It conveys more than just information. To word as a verb means to create meaning, to establish and develop purpose, to give form and meaning to something. And word means that the thoughts of God come into the world to shape God's desire and God's love into a reality that is tangible and existing. And then when the Word exists and creates, it tells us that central to the nature of God is the desire to create and to form. God is an artist of love, and that love takes shape in the reality of what we live and in the people whom God has spoken into existence. God likes to make stuff and is very good at it. So when we see that the Word is the nature of God and that God makes the Word into light and life and all things, then we understand that God's authorship is imprinted upon all that exists. We can either love what God has done, which means abiding in the light, even when there are places where God makes some things that we find frightening, or we attempt to hide in our own sense of self-centeredness and our personal authority, our ego. That's embracing darkness. People don't just decide that they want to be in darkness, that they want to abide in the darkness of hostility, jealousy, violence, fear, bitterness. They make their way into that place by closing out the light. When we experience something troubling, especially something like grief and loss, there is a process that has to take place. In that wound, in that hurt, there is a choice between delving deeper into the hurt, protecting ourselves with a blanket of blame, pacifying ourselves with hostility, with rage, promising ourselves we'll never be hurt again by being always suspicious, by always attacking, or we can embrace the hurt. We can recognize the wound. We can open our hearts to God and ask for healing, even as painful as that might be. We can expose the vulnerable places and let God work within us. You can always tell somebody who has gone through that type of grief. You can recognize them. They're the ones that don't have to say anything, but what they don't say says everything. They're the person who, in their eyes, you can see they know love. They know understanding. It comes out of a depth of a past experience of having to have wounds healed. That's real light. The people who take their pain, who take their hurt, who take all of the wounds and fears and mold them into a place of hostility and bitterness and rage, often then need a simple target, a easy identifier on which to attach all of this vitriol that they have built up within themselves. Very frequently, that is the source of racism. That's the source of many of the political hostilities, the name-calling. That is the source of so much that is so emotionally violent. And the more that somebody is trapped into that pattern, the harder it is for them to in any way let go. It begins to color every relationship. One of the things that's very difficult is you cannot abide in the darkness of your own loathing and hostility and love your children. You can't find security in the bitterness and resentment to hang on to blame and to outsource your hostility on any particular target and hope to have a healthy relationship with anyone near you. It's just not possible. Worse yet, if you choose darkness, if you abide in these types of depths of hostility, your knowledge of God is going to be extremely painful. God becomes the God of hatred, of violence, of retribution and justice. It becomes the warfare God who wants to wipe out enemies, the violent God who wants to destroy those things that cause us fear. And that God is not a God that any of us really wants to worship. And so we see how people delve deeper and deeper in the darkness, in their insecurity, in their fear. Racism, political hostility, ideology issues, homophobia, all of these things come out of a darkness of insecurity that has been allowed to build up and have layers added to it. It has become a source of self-defense by attacking, by blaming, by explaining every wrong and every issue through this attachment of bitterness. Why is it I can't get a better job? It's because of those blasted immigrants or those terrible people or those bad people of that political party. Why is it that my family doesn't like me? It's because they don't understand that I am the righteous warrior over and above all of these things of ideology. You can see how it goes, and you undoubtedly know people upon whom this falls, that they become entirely defined by the darkness that they have come to hold fast in the center of their soul. You can't argue with darkness. You can't reason with it. It's emotionally based, and so intelligence and logic is not going to move it. If you move anywhere close to it, it just shouts louder and shouts the same things over and over again. You cannot fight darkness with an attack or with an argument or with reason. The only answer to darkness is light. It's interesting that in Genesis, God creates the greater light and the lesser light and the stars. And this is so reminiscent with the passage from John that John the Baptist was created not to be the light, but to share the light. That's our job. That's who we are created to be. Our challenge is to not only welcome the light, but to reflect the light. We need to be people who are willing to be compassionate even in the midst of hostility, to practice grace even in places where other people are being judgmental. One of the hardest things about being a Christian is that real forgiveness often is a process we have to learn and develop incident by incident while stuff is still going on. But that's discipleship. That's the light. That's the way the light ends up working on us. It is very difficult because as lesser lights, as people who share the light, we are in a place in which we have to be consistent as we can, open, but to know that a direct confrontation is not going to go anywhere, but continued shining of God's love can accomplish great things. There was a speaker who was explaining his experience as a white supremacist, as someone who had gotten drawn into that whole community and thinking. He did so because he came out of a situation in which he was looking for people who would make him feel secure and make him feel like he mattered. And the white supremacists with whom he fell in with, they took great advantage of that. And they worked him into a place in which he was every bit as hostile and violent. And he was able to live in that, except for in the midst of that darkness, he saw glimmers of light. And those glimmers of light really troubled him. In his speech, he was talking about multiple places had caused him to ache for real love, for authentic caring. Not the type of caring that he had come to be accustomed to in the groups in which he had gathered, but to really be loved as God called him to be loved. The tipping point came for him when at a McDonald's that he went to real regularly, he frequently ate at that McDonald's, and there was a woman who was black who worked at the counter there, and she was always so kind to him. She always smiled, and she welcomed him. She even called him sweetheart, which initially caused him to be so angry. But she said it authentically. It wasn't to be in any way insulting or deriding. He had tattoos that identified him as white supremacist. And she still treated him as somebody who was worthy of love. On one occasion when he was waiting for his food to come and the restaurant was fairly empty, she was standing at the counter, and he said to her, "So, are you afraid of me because of my tattoos?" And she just looked him in the eye and she said, "No, sweetheart. You're just a hurting soul. You need God's love to bring you back into the light. And you can come back anytime you're ready." And he started to cry. And she reached out and took his hand in her hands and held it. And he looked down. And where he had a swastika tattoo, her dark-skinned hand was covering it and holding his hand. And in that moment, he saw the light. He felt the love. He realized that somebody cared about him unconditionally. She could have argued with him about the fallacies of white supremacy. She could have described to him the passages in the Bible. She could have shared with him all of those things. But none of that had the power or the light of at the right moment being the right soul to reflect the light of Christ. This is part of our problem. We can't control it. We can't make the circumstances that will cause people to see darkness, see light in the darkness. We can't force it. We can only be the reflection. We can only be the lesser lights. We can only be the ones who do our best to live in that light. And we're dealing with our own darkness some days. There are places in which fear, insecurity, threat, all of those things causes the idea of retreating into the darkness of blame, of attacking, of identifying others just by labels and not seeing children of God. But the light is what's really going to heal us and heal the world. It's the place in which God's love is going to bring transformation and peace. It's our mission, and it's the place that, as we enter into it, we experience the fullness of God's grace. So, we seek to be people of light. It's an everyday challenge. It's a constant work of discipleship. And each of us, in different ways and at different times, need to work on being open to that light. But that is the way that Christ will bring healing and hope to the people in the world. It's our role, so we respond by prayerfully asking God to help us truly reflect the light in our own words and our actions. Let us pray. God of light and love, we do pray for our brothers and sisters who are trapped in darkness, the darkness of attack, blame, guilt, and hatred. We struggle to think of them as brothers and sisters, Lord, knowing that they would never see us as being in your image. And yet we know that that's our call, to care, even for those who don't know what it is to love and care themselves. We realize it is your desire that we be reflections of the light of your grace and forgiveness, even in a world that is full of so much venom and hatred. So we need you to work within us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we truly can be people of light, people who welcome your word and allow your power of growth and transformation to take place through our hard experiences, through our challenges, through things that intimidate us and make us afraid. Show us how to let go of our resentments and our grievances so that we do not begin to indulge in darkness. Show us how to be empowered to do our own work of sharing your light, even as Jesus has given us places to serve and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to employ. We praise you, Holy God, that we are gifted with your love and your grace. We pray that as your light shines, we can see transformation in the world around us. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Showing his glory and almighty power. Come, join with creation today. Worship the Lord, give him praise. Sing praise, sing praise. The sun shine for his praise through the darkness of night. Come, join with creation today. Worship the Lord, give him praise. Sing praise, sing praise. The mountains so high, the valleys so low, the fruit on the trees and the flowers that grow, the birds of the air, the creatures that crawl, give glory to God who reigns over them all. Come, join with creation today. Worship the Lord, give him praise.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. And it is God's gift to us that we can be in fellowship with each other, even when we need to be apart. If you would like to let me know what you're thinking, you can always email me at RevJHarrison@FDLPresbyterian.org. And do check out our website, www.FDLPresbyterian.org. God's blessings to you and your family. Stay safe. We look forward to when we can be together again.